kill one husband and presenting them as a chaste virgin to Christ. My mother was Byzantine. My father died when I was a year old, for several years until I began going to school. He went to the Byzantine parish to which she belonged. My first pastor, therefore, was a married man. I had five children. I was just a child when I heard this. And two of the five children were divorced. All the responsibility that you married people know that a married priest then necessarily has to carry. The priesthood is a full time, 24 hours plus 10 minutes each day. And not just time, but dedication. All I know, and I think I should say this, I'm being taped. If I were a married man, I just cannot imagine leaving on Friday for Spokane. And I gave an hour's lecture in Spokane, Washington at 9 p.m., which was 12 o'clock Detroit time. I retired at 2 o'clock Detroit time. I wouldn't be here. And this is what we want to see in our priests and tell them and be sure they understand what you're saying. That what you want in priests is such love of Jesus Christ that they will not spare themselves at all. We're having, as you know, a new Jesuit saint at the end of this month. We can use a few saints, a few more saints. But one of my favorite Jesuit priest saints is John Francis Regis. Hearing confessions. Heart attack, died shortly after. He didn't have the privilege of dying right in the confessional. Shucks. Celibacy then is far more than the sacrifice of marriage and living a life of consecrated chastity. Celibacy means a life of dedicated and selfless charity. And I can tell you this too. Expect this of priests. Be prudent, be kind, but don't hesitate. I'll use the verb to impose on the generosity of a priest. They need it. Then pray they'll have the strength to carry on. What is the primary ministry of a priest? 1488. The primary ministry of a priest is to consecrate and offer the Holy Eucharist and to forgive sins. In this, priests differ from deacons who do not receive the power to consecrate the Eucharist, offer Mass, or forgive sins by sacramental absolution. That's the main reason that Christ ordained priests. When I was a young man in Cleveland, I was privileged to serve the first Mass of a priest and held up over 10 years for ordination. He was just about speechless. Some problem in his, not just in his speech cords, but in his whole makeup. Finally, he was ordained. I served his first Mass. And they turned down the loudspeaker, maximum volume. Those of us in the sanctuary could hear a faint whisper. He lasted 9 months. And he died. To say one Mass is worth being ordained a priest. And this, too, I'm speaking to you people. You have a lot to do, more than you realize, to making and shaping and sanctifying the priests that enter your lives. There is nothing more painful, I can say this for a priest, than to find out that his priesthood is not appreciated. Priests will offer a Mass. And who shows up? At Jesu Parish, across the street from the university in Detroit. I've been in Detroit now almost 4 years. Kind of a gentleman's agreement with my superiors. Is it humanly possible I will be in Detroit to offer the 6:30 Mass as a parish church 2 weeks of each month? And we always have a handful of dedicated souls for the 6:30 Mass. I think I should be very open with you how many times I retired way after midnight, but I get up in time to offer the 6:30 Mass. How many people just, oh, they're good Catholics. You ask them, when was the last time you've gone to Mass during the week? I hope I'm talking to the wrong audience. I hope so. You know what I'm telling you? A priest is ordained to offer a Mass, offer the Holy Sacrifice. In the name of our Lord, be there for those Masses. It is Christ offering himself. The same Jesus that died on Calvary and is offering himself just as truly as he did on the cross 2,000 years ago. On the cross he gained the merits to the Mass. To the Mass, he confers the merits. Then sacramental absolution. You've talked about confession, my last chance to, well, wrap things up. That's what priests are for, to absolve from sin. But they need, obviously, they need penitence to come to confession. And by now, there are so many priests, I know, maybe months since they've administered a single sacramental absolution. there are priests when I go to confession. All I have to find out is whether he's a validly ordained priest. That's enough for me. In airports, 35,000 feet in the air, on the street corner, you're a Catholic priest. Sure. They give me absolution. How many times? I've had to help priests with the formula of absolution. See what I am saying? The priestly powers are not being used, and the responsibility, I have to say this, lies heavily on the soldiers, on the shoulders, on the shoulders of so many of the laity. We need you. We priests need you. You need us, but we need you. We need your example, we need your encouragement, and we need you, now use the verb, to demand of us the exercise of our priestly powers. Be kind, smile, be gentle, but be demanding. What are the pastoral duties of a priest? To teach, to lead, and to sanctify. I think we go on till 10 minutes after two, is that correct? That's the usual routine. That is why in the Vatican, surprisingly, the catechetical responsibility for teaching the faith to children and young people below the university and seminary level is under the jurisdiction of the Congregation for the Clergy. They are the ones who are the priest to teach the faithful. Of course, they must know their faith and teach the true faith. Priests are to lead. Well, how important this is. Naturally speaking, as you know, there are some people that have leadership qualities. Others don't. Now, you don't necessarily lead by, well, bossing people around. And bossy people are not leaders, for the best of reasons. They won't have any followers. And here too, and 21 years in working for the Holy See, they tell me, encourage the laity to enable priests to exercise their qualities of leadership. And this is when I come back to the feminist movement. We're all human. And the tendency is, if you have the intelligence and other natural gifts, the tendency for us is to take over. In how many parishes the priest is no longer the real leader of the people? I hope you agree with me. And that, of course, means that those who are not in the priesthood have the faith and the humility, in the deepest sense of the word, though you may be far superior intellectually to the priest. You know it and he knows it. But enable the priest to exercise his priestly leadership. And finally, to sanctify. And this is where, in teaching priests, I tell them, your greatest responsibility before God and all that you're ordained priests is to be men of holiness. The adverb we use, the church needs priestly priests. Not necessarily always singing of the rosary, although I've never taught or guided any priest that I ask him, are you saying your daily rosary? But not just holiness in, say, saying vocal prayers. Holiness in the practice of faith. Some time ago, I was talking to a priest who has, sadly, separated himself from the Holy See. He's all the things that are going on in the church today. Not a follower of the other separates, but another group separated from Rome. And we were very open with each other. One of my responsibilities for the Vatican is to bring back the stray sheep among the bishops and priests that have separated themselves from the Bishop of Rome. He told me, Father, my life is a crucifixion. So I told him, thank God. Pray for so many good priests who are just brokenhearted because of what they not only see as you do, but they're living it. They want to teach the faith. So what happens? They are removed from the parish. Young priests in diocese in the last 2 weeks appointed pastor, met with the bishop, and explained to the bishop what he would like to do because he knows the parish. It's gone left of center, of which just one symptom is altar girls. So he told the bishop, I'd like to make a few changes in the parish. Called many of the administrators in the chancery, was not given the parish. Only in heaven will you know how much priests are suffering today. You can never dream the agony of so many priests. And the more faithful they are to their priesthood, the more they want to be holy priests. The higher price they have to pay. Let's go on to the bishops. 1494. What is the consecrating power in the ordination of bishops? For more of ordination of bishops is this prayer. Now pour out upon this chosen one that power which flows from you, the perfect Spirit, whom you gave to the apostles, who established the church in every place as a sanctuary, where your name would always be praised and glorified. As we said before, we now use the term a bishop is ordained. We may continue using the word a priest is consecrated. A bishop must want to ordain a priest into the episcopacy, and the man must want to be thus ordained, otherwise the ordination is not valid. What is the main power received by episcopal ordination? It is to confer the sacrament of orders. Hear it? That's the main power that a bishop receives. To communicate his own sacrament of holy orders in ordaining deacons, priests, or other bishops. In other words, only a validly ordained bishop can ordain either a deacon or a priest or another bishop. That power only a bishop has. What is the role of bishops in the Catholic Church, designated by the Holy Spirit to take place of the apostles as pastors and faithful, and together with the Bishop of Rome and subject to his authority? Memorize that phrase, and subject to his authority, are commissioned to perpetuate the word of Christ, the eternal shepherd of souls. We ask, what is the extent of bishops' pastoral responsibility? The pastoral responsibility of bishops first includes the people under the immediate care as in the diocese, but it extends to all the people of God. In other words, there are different grades or levels of bishops in the Catholic Church. Every bishop, if validly ordained by another bishop, has the fullness of Christ's priesthood. That's the term we use. However, though the fullness of power is there, the exercise of that power depends on the Pope. I want to be clear. The fullness of the priesthood is possessed by every bishop in the Catholic Church. But the exercise of that power depends on the Pope. Now, the dependence on the Pope can vary. Does the bishop depend on the Pope for his ordination of priests? No. A bishop does not depend on papal authority to ordain priests. In other words, the Pope, of course, could step in and forbid him to ordain someone as a priest. But the power itself of ordaining a man to the priesthood comes with episcopal ordination. Next question. Can a bishop ordain another bishop? Of course he can. Does he require the Pope's approval? In other words, would a bishop be validly ordained if the Pope did not give the bishop the right to do it? Would he be validly ordained? Yes. In other words, a bishop can ordain another bishop validly, with the fullness of episcopal power, not only without the Pope's permission, but even contrary to the Pope's will. And this over the centuries has been the main reason for the by now global division in so many countries in the Catholic Church. In other words, going back to the early church, bishops can validly ordain other bishops without depending on the Pope to give them the right to do so. However, if they do ordain man or men as bishops, that is valid ordination. And consequently, where there are erroneous ideas, as there have been over the centuries in the Catholic Church, the real danger from those erroneous ideas is that a bishop or bishops will accept those erroneous ideas and then more seriously sit ill, will then consecrate other bishops to perpetuate what they have done. Anyway, Paul VI, and then of course our present Holy Father, pleaded with Archbishop Lefebvre not to ordain other bishops. He went ahead and did it anyhow. And that then is a break in the Catholic Church. Those men are validly ordained bishops. Number 1498. Well, let me finish. 1497. They form, that's the bishops, form an episcopal community that succeeds the College of the Apostles and is therefore called Episcopal Collegiality. If there is one word that most Catholics by now have heard and I'm sure know how to spell, it is collegiality. It has nothing to do with a college of pharmacy or a college of this or a college of that. A college means a group, a community. And as far as the bishops are concerned, it means that bishops from the time of Christ are intended by him to work together as bishops, but, and never omit the preposition, but under the Bishop of Rome. And that is the crisis in the Catholic Church today. In other words, as the document of the Church of Vatican II makes plain, there was no collegiality. The word is a misnomer. Unless individual bishops and conferences of bishops are subject, and that's the verb, subject to the authority of the Bishop of Rome. And that is the hard one. And the Holy See, the Holy Father, had to come out more than once, reminding bishops, especially conferences of bishops, your right to teach and guide and command your faithful depends on your loyalty and obedience to the Vicar of Christ. So too is this, that, and is this ever important? The faithful are indeed to be obedient to their bishops. They are to follow their directives. They are to listen to their teaching. They are successors of the apostles. They are. But the measure and degree of the faithful being required or obliged to either accept the teaching or obey the laws of their bishops is a conditional acceptance and obedience insofar as the bishops teach and command what is taught and commanded by the Bishop of Rome. Just one word, but you have here, order of ministries. This is brand new. The order of ministries is key 1, preserved in the Latin Church, and adapted to present-day needs as that of reader and acolyte. It was our readers, say to myself, oh, Hardin. A few Catholics even know this exists. The real Vatican Council, not the counterfeit that gets so much publicity, the real Vatican Council decreed in the Catholic Church there be especially two ministries, namely reader or lector and acolyte. And in both cases, they are to be men. You find that in print somewhere, and be sure to send me a copy, and I'll pay for the postage. One bishop friend of mine, I just took this literally, and began to train men in his diocese to be lectors and acolytes to take care of the sanctuary and things that need to be done in the Eucharistic liturgy. He told me in 24 hours he was on national media . In other words, the order of ministries. As I finish this, I say to myself, to many people, it will mean this. Big, white, blank, zero. Why? Because so many people just don't know. This is the clearest statement I can make. Just don't know the real teaching of the Catholic Church. They just don't know. And there are forces and powers at work that make sure they don't know. With that, I think we should close our class on the Sacrament of Orders. Then, is it a 15-minute break? Let's make it 20 minutes. Big deal. Till 2:30. And then we'll resume on subject of prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O Mary, conceived without sin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.